now proudly presented on SNME. That's Sunday Night's Main Event. Patreon and free feed.
We just people from the north side. Once the Timmy's hit the shore fine. Went to ready on the four ties. Heavy traffic during 4-5. Got a hustle on the own time. Color people every port side. We just people from the north side. Once the Timmy's hit the shore.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's your host, your boy George Mackay here, the Straight Talk Wrestling Podcast. And before I introduce him, I mean, you can see him on the screen. But before I introduce him, I have to tell you a story. Well, actually, I might as well introduce you. Kevin Blackwood, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Blackwood. Years ago at Destiny, I met you and I was just starting the podcast. And we spoke about what you were just talking about off camera, about how if I could get you on Zoom or Skype because I didn't have my equipment with you at the show. And you actually said to me, I'm more likely to do it at a show, which you reiterated here today.
Okay, I just
and
said that
now too. Here I am with my equipment ready in hand. And yeah, it's because of that conversation with you.
Perfect.
So you were the inspiration.
Say, yeah. Do you do that all the time at shows?
Have my gear? Yeah. Always. Yeah, always now because of you.
Yeah, I think most wrestlers are more likely to do that if they're just there anyway.
Makes sense,
like,
right?
If we got time to kill anyway, it's whatever.
So my first question is you have had an impressive array of matches. And a couple years ago, we had a life-changing situation happen, and I know you talked about it before. But one of the things I want to talk about is that post you posted of all of you guys in the hospital kind of after everything, saying I'll never take life or wrestling for granted ever again because of that incident, that car crash that changed everything. Fighting so hard to come back to where you are now, still being able to do what you do, it's a blessing. And it's crazy to think about where you came from. Were you ever in a moment where you were unsure if you were ever going to get back to the form that you know you could be at?
No, honestly, I literally told my dad like the first day in the hospital that I was like so excited for the return to wrestling because that was so when I was a kid, like the coolest things I saw watching like Raw or anything was like a big return from somebody that's been out for a long time, like a big surprise return. There's no surprises anymore, but when there was surprises, like the two that I remembered like distinctly was when Kane came back and like took out DX and the Radicals, and then the time that Batista came back and took out Legacy.
Yep.
Those ones, I had no clue that shit was coming, and I was, like, mind blown. It was so cool. And I literally planned and executed a moment like that at Limitless Wrestling was my first match back after the accident. So, yeah, I just – that whole time I was hurt, I just was, like, waiting and excited for my first time back.
That's amazing how you were looking forward to the return. Yeah. It's not about the setback. You were looking forward to the comeback.
Yeah. I didn't think I wasn't going to come back at any point. I just was, like, looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And I could tell that I've seen some of your work since then. And it's been no short of Kevin Blackwood. You haven't been a step off. In my opinion, you've turned yourself up completely.
I'm infinitely better.
I would say so. I would. And I'm glad he said it because I don't want to. I've never stepped foot in the ring, but I can appreciate anyone that puts their bodies on the line to entertain us and tell us the stories. Now, I have to say, being here at Demand Lucha tonight, organically, you get heat like a motherfucker. You are a heat magnet. What is it about Kevin Blackwood? You're such a chill guy, but what is it about Kevin Blackwood in the ring that makes 800 plus people want to rip you apart?
I don't, there's something. There's like something inherently unlikable about me that I tap into really well when I know I have to for wrestling. I don't know. There's Puff or Garcia will tell you there's been so many people that I don't know what I did, but people straight up just don't like me sometimes. Like we just know people that just don't like me. I don't know why. There's just something about me that's not likable. But I know when I have to be a bad guy in wrestling, I can turn it on immediately. And I there's just something about like if I do like that certain like smug grin, they're going to fucking boo me. they hate that. And I know it every single time it gets a reaction. It's better when Haley's there because Haley fucking she is a heat magnet more than I am somehow. But, yeah, I don't know. I find great joy in being a heel and making people hate me. So I think that it just shows in how well it goes.
It does. It does. It absolutely does. What have been some of the, I mean, there's always funny insults or funny things that people throw out there when they're, you know, heckling a heel. Have you ever had like one comment where you're like, you sat back, you're like, damn, that was impressive, but also kind of a little hurtful. That one stung a little bit.
No, they never hurt my feelings, but they do pop me sometimes. Like okay. I either have to not laugh or I just accept it and I laugh. Off the top of my head, most frequently, they'll do like a Hank Hill impression.
Oh, okay.
They'll just yell like, damn it, Bobby, or something like that. Or they'll say something about my black arm. But yeah, no, it never bothers me because I know what they're supposed to. I'm aiming to get them to try and hurt me, you know, so it's not a big deal.
You're aiming for the reaction.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to you about MLW. Because the last time you heard Demand Lucha, I spoke to you about, I'm a huge MLW fan. I enjoy the product. I watch it all the time. What was your thought process about your experience there?
I thought it was really cool. It's a pretty laid back environment there. It's got like a strong, like structured TV wrestling vibe, which I've, aside from like AEW dark matches, I haven't like experienced. So it was cool to work in we have this much time, but that just means that, like, you know, it's like 8 minutes, but that includes your entrances. So we got to call a match that take this much out of the match time and put that all together and don't go over your time because you're going to fuck somebody over. And, so yeah, it was cool. And I got to work with guys that I've worked with on the indies anyway. So I went in comfortable and, you know, it was a cool environment, and I worked at two different venues. I did the Philadelphia one, the ECW arena, and then whichever one in New York City. That was my last time there.
Yeah, the one in New York City. Yeah,
yeah, with
yeah, the finish off with Deppin, Deppin and all that storyline. Yeah,
yeah, and that was my last time there. But it was it was a cool experience doing MLW.
Absolutely. I wish that unfortunately I get the storyline they had to build you up with the injury, kayfabe injury, and then work you back in. I just wish that there would have been more meat on the bone for that story.
I think that could have been different, but the reason for the injury was that I had already been booked somewhere else in November. So that was the biggest reason that we had to do that one. So I feel like there could have been more in it, like another match even.
I would have liked to see a best of seven because I think you and Tony really do shine. You guys have great chemistry in that ring.
Well, to go back to the if you go over your time, you're fucking somebody over issue. Several people went over their times, and that's why that match was so short. We had a really cool match called, and we had to cut it to like a minute and a half. Me and Tony's like super fun to work with, and that would have been it was going to be a really cool match, but it just didn't. It's the nature of TV wrestling sometimes.
I get it. I do get it. I will say this, though. I mean, with the organic heat that you get and the organic heat that Tony gets, if you guys were to go all over the indies just, like, being the tag team that organically gets people to hate you,
yeah.
You guys, that's big business.
Yeah. I think the problem is that he likes pop punk, and I hate pop punk, so I don't think it would work.
I can see that. I can see that being a huge problem. The playlists in the car would be very difficult.
We wouldn't be able to travel together. We can't settle on whose music is playing.
It's like that. It's like there's a commercial here, and I don't know if you get it in, too often or you've seen it. It's the girl in the car with her best friend, and she's on the Rogers network, but she has the shittier network, and her network gets cut. So she has to listen to her friend's country playlist, and she's hating life because she doesn't get to share the playlist in the car.
Yeah, that's how it would be. I would want to put on like some 90s country or something, and I don't think he'd be cool with that.
90s country?
I love 90s country.
Oh, dude, okay. What are you? Shania Twain?
Big Shania Twain, Garth Brooks, Tim McGraw. Shenandoah, big 90s country guy.
I would not have picked you for a big 90s country guy.
Because my parents were into country when I was a kid.
Okay.
I mean, they still are, but they were like, that was like the first music that I listened to when I was growing up.
Okay.
Until I branched off into listening to my own stuff.
And your own stuff is, you're a little bit of everything? Are you eclectic?
I'm very eclectic. Like I've gathered tastes throughout my life. Like, the first album I ever owned was the first Backstreet Boys CD.
Okay.
And I still like it.
It's a no, it is. I'm not going to lie. It's a banger.
It is.
My first album, my first CD I ever purchased with my own money was Montel Jordan. This Is How We Do It.
Wow.
I'm a lot older than you. Extremely a lot older.
Did it have other songs on it?
It did. It had this one's for the honeys. Okay. And it had, well, that's actually, those were the only two songs that I remember because those were the only two top 40 tunes.
He had only two singles.
Right? He did. He had this one's for the honeys, and this is how we do it.
Good songs, though.
Still playing in the clubs?
Yeah, exactly. A good song is going to stand the test of time, and you're going to be able to get down to it no matter what.
Absolutely. I completely agree. What about, what does Kevin Blackwood do in his downtime? When Kevin Blackwood is not pissing off arenas or pissing off cities all over the world, what does Kevin Blackwood do to have fun?
We're talking legitimate downtime, or yeah, I don't
legitimate downtime. You don't have a wrestling show for say 2 days.
I don't have anything to do. If I don't have anything else to do, I'm going for a walk, a long walk.
Nice.
I
walk, a hike?
Not even a hike. So I live in back in Buffalo again now, so it's not as exciting. But especially when I lived in LA. I just would walk my dog for miles throughout the city. I lived in West Hollywood, so it was parts of it were nicer.
I was going to say, it's a little bit more open. It's not so congested, right?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's not suburban, but it's not big city urban in that area. You know what I mean?
A cross between?
Somewhere in between. It's got suburban spots, but.
It's like a hybrid.
Kind of, yeah. It's just a nice area. There's something to see at all times. Where I live in Buffalo right now, it's kind of separate from everything. But I can't sit down for too long. I can't be not doing something for too long.
So you're not a binger.
No, I used to be, but I'd rather be moving. So I walk my dog for a long time, or I go, I'm just incredibly active. So I work out a lot. When COVID hit, I started running really far and riding my bike really far. It was 2021. I rode my bike 100 miles.
No way.
I worked up to it over a couple months, but I hit 100 miles in one ride. I rode from my house, my parents' house in Albion, to Buffalo and back. It was 50 miles each way.
That's incredible.
It was awesome. It was so exhausting, but I would just do these long, long bike rides, and I would just have a ton of food prepared for when I got home. Because it almost was my reward for doing it, basically.
Well, that's incredible. 100-mile bike ride. How long did that take? Was that over a 10, 12-hour span? Was that a whole day? Did you take breaks in between, or was it just consecutive? 50 one way, take a half an hour break or so, and 50 back.
I stopped a few times to get I planned it a route where there was plenty of gas stations. So I stopped three or four times and got drinks. But all in all, it took me 8 hours, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. I'm going to do it again this year for sure.
Absolutely. And when you do, because I do follow you on Instagram. So when you do, shoot Straight Talk Wrestling a message. Just write 120 and I'll know. 140, I'll know. I'll know. I want to see all the next bike ride goes for you.
You'll see it on my story for sure. I share... Nobody gives a shit, but I share all my workout accomplishments on my Instagram stories.
What do you mean nobody gives a shit? You got followers? People want to know.
They don't care about it. They don't care about it at all. They just want to see me with my shirt off.
That's fair. I don't. I appreciate your ability. Shirt on or shirt off. I appreciate your ability. So I got to ask you this. I mean, the Buffalo Boys, the legacies that you guys have built. I mean, Daniel, all the incredible stuff he's doing in AEW, everything that you're doing, Puff and everything that he's doing. I love Puff. I actually sat down with Puff a couple Christmases ago. We talked about how his brother loves ramen, and he bought his brother ramen pajamas for Christmas because Puff is just such a happy dude. But Daniel, did you ever expect that Daniel had this fire in him and that dance ability? Did you ever expect Daniel had that dance ability to just crush it like he's been doing at AEW?
Yes, I did. Because I didn't – Haley would go out to the club with him and and our friend Koobs. They would all go out to the club together, and she said that he just danced like that at the club. He just worked it into his gimmick. Nothing you see with Dan is not Dan. It's literally him.
So that is Daniel Garcia.
That's Garcia, 100%.
Wow.
Yeah.
So have you ever tried to mimic the Garcia?
Yeah, but I wouldn't do it on camera. unless I was
100%. I'm not asking you to do it now.
No, unless I was 100% sure, I wouldn't do it in front of people.
Okay. Have you ever done it in front of Garcia and been look, well, I can do it too?
No, especially I wouldn't do it in front of him. He's extremely judgmental.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. So would you say out of like the, all the Buffalo crew, is he the most judgmental?
No, I am.
You're the most judgmental.
I'm a big dickhead.
Are you the hardest on everyone?
It depends.
Are you the most opinionated?
Dan's the most honest.
Okay.
Like, he'll tell you straight up if something you're doing sucks. I will dance around it to try and find a nice way to say it, but he'll just be like, yo, that sucks. That's awful.
And you're just like, wow.
But he does it. He does it because he cares. Like, he'll tell you.
He'd
like,
rather be honest than.
He's going to tell his friends that if something they did sucked, it sucks because he wants you to do it better.
Nice.
Which is good.
That's the kind of friend that you need. You need somebody to give you those hard truths. Has there ever been a hard truth that he told you that you were like, wow, damn, bro?
Not me, but the other day he told Koobs that he like hates his gear.
Oh, shit.
It was awesome.
And he was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just his thing. He's like Polish. His last name's Kubiak and he's Polish. So yeah. He wears all plaid.
Okay. Plaid is good.
But I don't know. He just told him he didn't like it.
Just told him the plaid was not a thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
But he said it works for him. He said everybody else always tells him. Like, I guess at AEW, Samoa Joe told him he liked it.
Okay.
So like everybody else just tells them that they like it, but Dan just hates it. I don't like it either personally. I just wasn't so blunt about it.
Well, there you go. You admitted it. You admitted it.
Yeah. No, I'll tell him, but I would be like, yeah. Like, I know, I told him, like, I wish you would just break it up with, like, a solid color or something like that. But Dan's straight up like, I hate it personally.
I love this. I absolutely love this. Yeah. And I got to say, I feel like everyone in the world has a guilty pleasure that nobody else knows about. Like, something that, not like a deep, dark, like, sinister secret, but something that maybe a lot of people might not know. Like, a hidden talent or a food that you eat that nobody else really appreciates. Does Kevin Blackwood have something like that? Like, can you play chopsticks on the piano with your toes?
No. I want to say I have an answer to this question. I feel like I do. My problem with all interviews is that I'm so bad at, like, remembering shit even about myself off the top. Maybe that's my thing, is I can't remember things off the top of my head. I can't think of something off the top of my head ever. Brian Weiss is agreeing with me. But... I wanna have a good answer to this, but maybe if we keep going, I'll try and think of
okay,
it.
Okay, we'll circle back to that. We'll circle back to that. So, bike rides, hikes with a dog, always got to keep moving. If when you were recovering and you couldn't literally move, that must have been the most frustrating time for you, because you had to wait for your ankles to heal. Because if I remember correctly from what I read, you broke both ankles, right?
I broke my right ankle and my left tibia.
Okay, so that's you literally were in a wheelchair.
A scooter. Like, you know those, like, you put one knee on. And
okay, yeah.
It was one of those, because this leg was usable. A tibia, I could be getting the bones mixed up, but it's the outside leg bone on the bottom, yes, under your knee. Yes. It's not a weight-bearing bone.
Okay.
So I was able to still use it.
Okay.
Once I had like a bad sprain in my knee or something. Okay, once that cleared up, I was able to use that to push myself. And I got moving on crutches pretty quickly. And then by the end of the first month, I was able to like walk with a limp.
Okay.
I don't think I should have been, but I'm extremely impatient. And so I
couldn't tell that.
I walked it. I had a boot that I always wore, but okay. I would walk with that on. Yeah, those big fucking...
Looks like a ski boot, but it's not.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I had one of those that I would wear. I did a lot of stuff way too soon. Like, I went to training at Grapplers, and I was, like, I was, like, taking, like, light bumps. Like, the injury was at the beginning of January, and by February, I was, like, bumping.
Oh, no.
And I shouldn't have been doing that, I couldn't keep away from it. As I'm telling you, like, all I thought about was getting back to wrestling. Yeah, that's all I thought about. And I was just trying to rush it. And I was patient enough to, like, my first match wasn't until July of that year.
Okay, so you were trying to work off the rust early.
Yeah.
But you were patient in actually getting back to the ring.
Right.
But what was it like when you walked through the curtain after all this, the rehab, everything was done. You got the green light to go back. Your first match is in July or June, July, and you walk through the curtain. What was going through your head, man? You must have had some serious emotion that day.
Yeah, because what we did was I asked Randy at Limitless. I wanted my first match back to be with Christian Casanova, who is Carmelo Hayes on NXT. Because we had had like a couple, we had like kind of a program going before the accident, and I wanted to finish it for my first time back. And so what we did was I was like good to go to like, I could have wrestled earlier, but I needed like an actual like return moment. So what we did was we had a thing where he was going to like cheat to win. Like he had like his chain that he wore that he would like cheat with. And when he was about to use it, my music hit. And it was new music that I had made custom. And I was, what we did is like, I come out and like surprise, and he gets the loss because of my like shock return. And so like, it's one of those things, like, because it's a surprise, you're hoping they'll react in a cool surprise way. And so that's where like my nervousness is coming from. I'm like, my heart is racing. Like, are they going to think this is cool? Are they going to be excited that I'm back? And so as soon as I walk through the curtain and everybody's like realizing it's me, because they all know about the accident. Like Limitless was really cool and did like a fundraiser with like 8x10s and stuff like that. Amazing. Yeah, they raised a bunch of money for us. So people knew about the accident, and I had been building up like a name there. So when they were realizing it was me, there's like pops and waves basically. And so all my nervousness just like rushed, like flushed away. It's like, you're, for me, like, I don't really get nervous to wrestle anymore. It's more like specific circumstances where I'm like, that's all I'm thinking about is like, are they going to care? And they did, and it was really cool. So that's what, like, that all washed away from me. And the match itself was the same thing. It's like, I still had it. I don't like the match now because I've evolved so much since then, but at the time, it went exactly how I would have wanted it to.
So at the time, you were happy with it, but going, knowing where you are now and the evolution of Kevin Blackwood. And I got to say, the evolution of Kevin Blackwood is great. I feel like you're probably in the best shape that you've ever been in pro wrestling. And that's a credit to the bike riding, the consistency of keeping moving. And, you know, the fact that getting that heat usually out of the buildings very quickly because you want to go on to the next town and get even more heat.
Yeah. I don't know. So I'm not a heel everywhere. I kind of wish I was, but, like, I don't know. I get some – so I also sometimes get natural babyface reactions, which is all, that could just be like they think I look cool or something.
Is that odd for you to get the babyface reactions when you are?
No, because like when I started training, like they were training me specifically to be a heel. Like they taught us everything, but they were like, you're definitely going to be a heel. You're all covered in, I had really long hair at the time, and they're like, I'm covered in tattoos. Like this guy is a heel. So that's what I was at my home promotion in Buffalo. But over time, I just was naturally, they were just like really liking me because. Sometimes when you're, like, getting good at wrestling, they just, like you. You see it happen on TV all the time. Like, bad guys are good wrestlers, so people, like, root for them, you know?
Of course.
So that just started to happen. So naturally, places started booking me as a babyface also. So I'm, like, I'm used to both, honestly. It just depends on how I'm good at, like, presenting one or the other.
You absolutely are. And I saw you out there today and prepping in the scramble match and the input and everything like that. Very creative. And I love the creativity. And speaking of creativity, I mean, what a segue. That was a great segue. The tattoos.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have nearly as much as you, but I have a few tattoos that are special to me. Out of all the tattoos you have Edward Scissorhands on the leg, too. I appreciate that one every time I see you. Is that not Edward Scissorhands?
Robert Smith from The Cure.
Okay, so then I was way off, and I'm sorry to all the Cure fans out there. It looks like Edward Scissorhands from afar. It does.
I know. I get that a lot.
Okay, thank God. So I'm not the only one that's ever
You're
said that.
You're not the first person to say that.
No. Thank God. Okay, good. For a second there, I thought he was going to be like, this interview's over, and just walk the fuck out. I thought he was going to leave me hanging.
No, that's why it was such a chill reaction. Because like,
you're like, yeah, it's happened a million times.
So, like, that's one of the things that fans yell at me is about Edward Scissorhands on my leg.
Okay, so we dispelled that rumor and that myth. Yeah. So out of all the tattoos you have, and obviously the big, giant, black... So was this just a cover-up job, or was this just, does this mean something to you?
Oh, it doesn't mean shit. you can see, like, I still have, like, a couple tattoos showing on the back because these are good. These are the two tattoos that I liked when I got this blacked out, and I wanted to keep these. Everything else I had are just a bunch of bad tattoos that I got when I was young and just like just rushing to get tattoos.
Right.
That's all. That's literally just bad tattoos. And I had seen, like, I've seen, like, you know, I'm not the only person that has this, you know, like, in the tattoo industry, we used to call it the piercer arm.
Yes.
Because for, I don't know, for some reason, like piercers always, piercers are always like weird people.
And, like, okay.
I don't know why, just piercers are weird people a lot of the time, and like blacked out body parts came with that for a while, and then okay. Eventually just kind of like extended to other people also. So I was aware of this concept, and eventually.
How long did that take?
10 hours altogether.
Is that through breaks?
Three different sessions.
Three different sessions.
Yeah.
Which one was the most painful part? I'm gonna say probably around the wrist.
That did suck, but it definitely. So like the first session, I had it all done by the guys that I work with at the shop, mm-hmm. And so when I started, I had one guy working on my forearm and one guy working up here at the same time. And we got like sections done and in that way. And then eventually I got like, I filled this part out more and I had only like this left, and probably around here was the worst.
Yeah.
Partially because it's what we got to last.
Okay.
So I was just, the last session was like 3 or 4 hours, I think, all like straight. Oof. And so I was just in a lot of pain. No, regardless, but I wouldn't do it again.
But out of all the ink that you have on you, what would you say is the one tattoo that either is the most personal or the one that creatively is the coolest?
I can't show you because it's right here on my thigh.
Okay.
But I got a cat, I got a tattoo of my cat in 2021. It was like right before I moved to Los Angeles. I just was like, I love my cat. He's my best friend. He's the first animal that I personally adopted that wasn't just like my family. We all got a pet. Like, I got him myself. And my best friend. But he passed away about a month later. So I hold that. I'm happy that I got it while he was still there. Because I understand it. It's not a bad thing, but I think that like sometimes you should show people and the things you care about that you appreciate them before they're gone. So, and that's why I wanted to do that. I obviously didn't know he was going to die a month later, but because, you know, especially because he passed away so soon after that, the tattoo means even more to me. I'm a big animal guy, so you know, he was like my child. I still cry about him sometimes.
My daughter's going to watch this part of the interview and she's going to start bawling because she is an animal girl. We have a little Maltese poodle at home, Minnie. I'm surrounded by women. I have two daughters, my wife, the dog, surrounded by women. And I don't mind it. It's every man's dream. But at the same time, too, I need a break. I need to have a little bit of testosterone in my life. That's why pro wrestling is here. That's what I think. That's why it is. I get to have these conversations. But the dog annoys the crap out of me because the dog bites me. And the dog loves me. We have a love-hate relationship, but she does bite me. To the point where it's kind of hurtful because she goes for the ankles. She's a fucking ankle biter and it sucks, but I adore her nonetheless. Do you have any other pets now?
Yeah, it's like, you know, my dog that I walk.
What kind of dog is that?
His name is Benny. He's just a mutt. I got his DNA done and he's literally just a mutt. He's just so many different kinds of... The shelter that I adopted him from, which was actually... It was... run by Clint Eastwood's daughter.
Shut up.
I like had no idea that's who I was like. She literally was like, she's the one that like gave us the dog. And I had no idea who she was until we looked it up like afterwards.
You were like, oh, no way.
I'm like, wow, that was Clint Eastwood's daughter.
That would have been pretty sick if she gave you the dog and was like, you're going to make this dog's day.
Yeah.
Dad joke.
Yeah. But, so he, They speculated because he came from like a bad situation, like hoarding multiple dogs.
Oh, gotcha.
They speculated just, I think based on his appearance, that he was a puggle.
Okay.
When I did his DNA, he doesn't have any pug or beagle in him at all.
How does that work? Just a mixture of the muttage?
Is that a, even a word, Muttage?
Yeah, I don't know. They, like I said, they, I think they just were assuming based on his appearance, because he does look like he would be, but he's, I can't even remember. Like he's like part, there's pit bull and like Chihuahua and German Shepherd and Australian cattle dog. And
wow, he's definitely,
he's
got a mix
so many
of
different kinds of dog.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
He's so smart though. He's the smartest dog I've ever had. Nice. He doesn't need a leash. He just kind of like walks alongside me, and he literally just does what you tell him to do. He's so smart.
That's awesome.
But I did get, after my cat passed away, I was pretty sure I'd never get another cat. But then, so when I lived in LA, Benny had a sitter for when I would leave town for wrestling. And she was fostering kittens, and she said she had this one kitten that was just like a new baby, but she said that her and Benny were like getting along really well. Like they would play and like cuddle together and shit like that. So she was like insisting, like, you should really take this cat. It'd be good for Benny. So I like, she let me like meet her. And from the second I met her, I was like, all right, yeah, this is my cat. Like I'm not gonna not have this cat, but it turned out that her and Benny like don't. She loves Benny, like she follows him and like cuddles with him and like rubs her face on him. But he fucking hates her.
Oh shit!
He does not want anything to do with her, and I feel like he'll let her lay with him, but like if she gets too close or she's like being too affectionate, he'll snap, but not in like a, like he's gonna hurt her kind of way. It's just like
back off.
Like get the fuck off me.
Yeah, I got you.
But it's, I don't know if she like misread the situation or if she lied to me outright, but ultimately like, the cat, her name is Zero.
Great name, by the way.
The Smashing Pumpkins song.
Ah.
And the skateboard company. Cause I'm a big skateboard guy.
I am too. Video game wise, Tony Hawk.
Yep.
Pro skater.
I have the, you know, the, I just got a new skateboard, you know, the 03 skull with the blood drip.
Yes, I actually have seen it. My niece is very much into skateboarding, so I've seen that. Yes.
Yeah, that was like my dream board when I was a kid, and I just got it.
Nice.
I'm excited. I haven't skateboarded. Well, all right, so I tried to start skateboarding again at the end of 22, and I got it for my birthday, and I had one day of shit going really well, and then I sprained my ankle, and I didn't skate again, and then my car got broken into and all my shit got stolen, including my skateboard. So I hadn't skated in like again in like 2 years. So I've had to relearn all the shit I relearned that day, but it's going good. I love skateboarding.
And there's probably some pretty good skate parks in Buffalo, no?
Yeah. Haley just took me to this like really nice concrete one that I didn't know about. And it's, I think it might actually have been meant to be a BMX park.
Okay.
Because it's got stuff that I don't think should typically work for skateboarding, but it works. It's fun. I enjoy it.
I love it.
I'm not good at it anymore. But
so we talked about skateboarding. We talked about your cat. May she rest in peace. We talked about Benny. May he rest in peace. We talked about Benny. We talked about Zero. We talked about how Haley got you your dream board and took you to skate park. And we also talked about, we didn't touch on this, I'm an asshole, we were talking about that famous restaurant in Japan. Just talking about Japanese restaurants off camera. And I said, you got to go get that ribeye jacket. And, you know, George didn't do his full research. And Blackwood is a vegan.
I'm a big vegan. I've been a vegan since 2016.
Okay, so wait a minute. You don't just become a vegan. Why did you transition into a vegan? What was the change in 2016 that made Kevin Blackwood want to switch?
It was actually technically a change in 2015 when I stopped eating meat. Because I had the revelation. So I had a dog from 2000, the year 2000, to the year 2017.
Okay.
This pug that my parents got when I was 10.
Nice.
And she lived for almost 17 years.
Wow.
And when I moved out of the house, she came with me because she had become my dog. And I've had several animals that have been my best friend throughout my life. And Teddy, my pug, was one of them. And she was so old and helpless and she was like the best thing that ever happened to me. And I just had this revelation that there's no good reason that one animal is viewed as friends and others are viewed as food and just like a commodity. They're literally just items to people when they have the same emotions and bonds and thought processes that these animals have that we keep in our homes and take care of. And I just didn't want to continue paying and partaking in that. And so I stopped eating meat just one day, just cut it out completely. And I actually didn't know if I would go fully vegan. But I transitioned over that time frame. It was like June of 2015. I stopped eating meat and I was figuring out like protein sources and how to eat vegan as like an athlete. And by February, I actually know the exact date, February 12th of 2016. The only thing that I had still been eating for a while was eggs. And I just forgot to buy eggs when I went grocery shopping that day. And I was like, yeah, I should just commit. Just stop eating the eggs. And I did. And I've been vegan ever since.
That's incredible. That's
actually a really cool story. So I think that's probably a great place to end this conversation. But I want to circle back to the question that we talked about halfway through the interview. That we said we might have an answer. And I think I'm going to rework the question. Because we talked about skateboarding. And we talked about your music choices and stuff like that. So I feel you're very eclectic. But I feel like every guy in the world has a chick flick movie that they adore that a lot of people may not know. The only one that would know them is there. And I'm going to reveal mine to you. I have two. Okay. A Walk to Remember. Okay.
Yeah, I don't like that movie.
I do. Okay. And Never Been Kissed with Drew Barrymore. She goes back to high school. Josie Grossi. Great movie. I highly recommend it. Yeah. But does Kevin Blackwood have a chick flick?
Let me first say that I haven't seen Never Been Kissed, but it reminds me of Not Another Teen Movie. Many of those are based, like, there's so many of those movies in that movie.
Yes.
Just the extremely old woman when she's making out with the dude's sister.
Yeah.
Just like the spit is just like, it's so fucking gross.
Oh, that's also another great movie.
But, I would say, and it's not like super, I'm not like weird about this. I don't mind like people. I actually really like chick flicks in general. I like romantic comedies. My favorite Adam Sandler movie is The Wedding Singer.
Okay, solid.
But I would say The Notebook probably. The Notebook is, it's a good, like I've actually never cried watching it though. Like I was like told that I would for sure cry watching The Notebook. Have you seen it?
I have. And my wife was like, "You were crying." I was like, "I wasn't crying. Yeah. I was misty-eyed, but yeah. I wasn't crying." But my favorite part in that movie is probably the favorite scene for everybody, where the one guy's like, "This is a beautiful house. I'll give you three times its worth," and then he cocks the shotgun. I'm like, "What the hell?"
Well, I think that was the first movie that I was like, "Ryan Gosling's actually awesome and good looking." He's like, if I had like a man crush, it's Ryan Gosling for sure.
Oh, Johnny Depp all the way.
Okay.
Johnny Depp for me all the way from Nightmare on Elm Street, part one, all the way to Pirates of the Caribbean.
Because he's finally hit a point where he hasn't like, he was aging really well, but he hit that point that I think every human being hits.
Yeah, and he's not aging it well anymore.
Yeah.
But like, I also think the trial and everything took a lot out of him, the Amber Heard situation, all that. Yeah.
I don't know if this also counts. But Crazy Stupid Love, is that technically a chick flick?
That is a chick flick. I would give you that.
I've seen that movie like 300 times. I fucking love that movie.
Crazy Stupid Love is solid. You know what else is good too? It's actually a movie I watch at Christmas time with my wife because it is more of a Christmas movie. Serendipity.
I don't even know what that is.
So Serendipity is, what's his name? John Cusack.
Okay.
And the chick from Underworld. Did you ever see the Underworld movies?
Yeah.
The girl from Underworld. I can't remember her name right now. Her name escapes me.
I can picture her.
But so they run into each other one day and they have the best day ever. And then they lose track of each other. But somehow near the end of the movie, they find each other and it's called serendipity. That's actually what the scientific process is called. When you lose something and you are emotionally invested enough to somehow find your way back. It's like a force that can't keep you two apart. Okay. And it's just it's a heartwarming.
It's set in Christmas time?
It's set in Christmas time. So you got snow falling. I actually think they meet over a cup of hot chocolate. They're at like a cafe at an outdoor skating rink. There's a tree there. It's not Rockefeller Center, but it's like a knockoff Rockefeller Center. And they're there and they just meet and they just have this moment in time. And then they go off to lead separate lives. And this guy's grabbing his belly. He's trying to make me laugh, Kevin. It's not going to work. Not going to work. Well, I think we've learned a lot. This has been an incredible bucket list conversation for me. Thank you for giving me such a crazy amount of time. I really do appreciate that. And before you go, if I could ask a favor, you just look in the camera, give that Kevin Blackwood attitude, that energy, and say, hey, man, I just had a great conversation with Straight Talk Wrestling, and you guys should subscribe because George isn't bad. He's all right.
I just wasted like 40 minutes of my time with this fucking asshole, but... It's worth listening to me talk if you want to watch a 40-minute interview. Go subscribe to Straight Talk Wrestling.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much. Peace, love, and wrestling, guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for watching. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, and turn on that notification bell so you get notified each time we post a video. Alternatively, you can check us out on all podcast platforms and host it on Podbean. We are also available on the SNME Network. That's the Sunday Night Main Event Patreon. Please feel free to check us out there as well. And don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at @_StraightTalk on Twitter, at Straight Talk Wrestling on Instagram, Straight Talk Wrestling on Facebook, Straight Talk Wrestling on TikTok. And of course, you can check out all our merch at ProWrestlingTees.com.
I don't need a nigga cosign. Without the liquor, you become a victim. You ain't never got a pole mine. I ain't messing with this generation. Fuck your gender, I ain't got-